Well, we come today to the fifth message on the subject of church membership. We've been going through the questions that are put to candidates who come for membership within the church here. Question number five, will you be faithful to this fellowship, working in harmony with the minister and fellow members, taking a responsible and active part in the advancement of Christ's kingdom? The key word there, I believe, is the word faithful. Faithful. We want to think today about faithfulness. You know, the Lord is looking for faithfulness. He's looking for faithful people. He's not looking for necessarily successful people. No, the Lord doesn't speak here about success. It's being faithful. Of course, you get these people today, ministers today, and they're obsessed with the finances of the church. They're obsessed with numbers. They're obsessed with size. As far as they're concerned, these things are all that matter in a church. It's just like a business. But you know, that's not the attitude that the Lord has. That's not the perspective that Jesus Christ has when he looks at his church. He is looking for a faithful people, for faithful Christians. So we want to come today to think about this subject of faithfulness. So many today are taken up with quantity. But you know what the Lord's looking for? Quality. Quality. In his church, he's not so much concerned with the quantity, with the big numbers, with big things. He's concerned about quality. Quality of his people, the quality of his church. Leonard Ravenhill, wasn't it, that said, the Lord is not so much concerned with filling pews as with filling hearts. Filling hearts. He's not so much concerned with the filling of the church pews, but he's concerned with the filling of the hearts of believers with the fire of God, with revival fire, with the fullness of the Holy Ghost, with zeal and with faithfulness for his work. Well, whenever we look at the scriptures, we first of all notice the faithfulness of the Lord. That's where we need to start. See, the Lord is a faithful God. And there's no one who has ever been as faithful as him. You know, thank God for faithful Christians. Faithful Christians in this church. You're faithful. And I commend you for your faithfulness today. And it's good to encourage each other. But you know, I'm sure we'd all have to say, well, Lord, I haven't always been faithful to you. I haven't been 100% faithful to you every week, every day. There's times that I've let you down, Lord. Times when I haven't been all that I should have been. But whenever we think about the Lord, he's always faithful, isn't he? He's like the good shepherd, you know, always looking out for his sheep, tending to his sheep. When we need him, he's always there. Wouldn't you agree, Christian? Now, the Lord can't always say about me that when he needs me, that I'm always there. No, no. We're not always faithful to him. But oh, when we need him, and we need him every hour, as the hymn writer put it, he's always there. When we need him for forgiveness, he's there. When we need him for strength to carry on, he's always there. When we need him for guidance, he's always there. Oh, thank God for his faithfulness. We sing that great hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, one of our favorite hymns. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. But the Bible speaks about two faithful men in Matthew chapter 25. So we're going to think about that today. And there's, of course, there's not just the two men, there's the three men. One was unfaithful, one was slothful, but two men were faithful. Two of these servants in this parable were faithful. I suppose you could divide the message today into three. First of all, you've got the return of the Lord. The return of the Lord. You see, we read there in verse 14, the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Well, there you have the Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Olives, speaking to his disciples, delivering his goods to his disciples, as it were, and then he ascends into heaven. He goes to the far country. Nearly 2,000 years ago now since he went to the far country. But he's coming back. He's coming back to claim this earth for his own. You see, the psalmist said, the earth is the Lord's. But as we look around us in the world today, we see chaos. We see bedlam everywhere. It's because the devil has usurped what belongs to God. The devil has stolen what rightfully belongs to the Lord. But you know, the Lord is going to come back someday and reclaim this earth that belongs to him. It was Spurgeon, I think, who said, the Lord will not permit the devil to always have his way in a place where the blood of his son was shed. The Lord will not permit the devil to always have his way in the place where the blood of his son was shed. Whenever Jesus shed his blood that first Good Friday, it was like just as if he was putting down a marker as that precious blood dripped onto Golgotha's brow. It was just as if he was marking out his possession. It's just like the lion, by the way. The lion, the king of the beasts, it's an amazing animal. Do you know what the lion does when it goes to a particular territory? It scratches a rock. And it marks the rock as if to say, mine! This is my territory now. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he shed his blood, I trust you'll be here on Friday to remember that. But when he shed his blood, he was marking his territory. He's coming back again. Are you ready? Then we could speak today about the review of their lives, not only the return of the Lord, but the review of their lives. You see, this Lord, this man traveling into the far country, he comes back again. And it says there in its verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Reckoneth with them. You've often heard the phrase, a day of reckoning. And there is going to be a day of reckoning someday. It's good to know that. Whenever you look out and you see the murders being committed and then the murderer, the criminal's brought before the court and he's just slapped over the wrist a couple of years. It's a nonsense, isn't it? Terrible crimes that have been committed. We know all about the brutality and the bloodshed in Little Ulster over the past, 45 years? And there are murderers and terrorists today walking the streets. It's not right. Isn't it good there's a day of reckoning coming? Aren't you glad that Christ is returning? Aren't you glad he's coming back to sort this mess out? He's coming back not only to reckon with the atheist, the murderer, the robber, the whoever. He's coming back to reckon with each one of us. And he's coming back to reckon with the sinner at the great white throne of judgment. That will be their day of reckoning. But for those of us who know Christ, those of us who are trusting in his blood, you know, there's a day of reckoning for us too. It's called the Bema. That's the Greek word. It just means the judgment seat. The Roman governor sat upon the Bema. It was the judgment seat. And you see, one day we as Christians will stand before the Lord. We'll appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and the Lord will review our lives. Now, whenever we stand before Him as believers, we're clothed in His righteousness, washed in His blood, we're safe for eternity. It'll not be standing at the judgment seat to decide whether we go to heaven or hell. That's all been decided beforehand. It's all sorted out at the cross. Hallelujah. But whenever we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, it'll be to review our lives. Did we do all that we could? Were we faithful to this fellowship? And ultimately, were we faithful to Him? Then we could speak today, thirdly, and this is what I want to major on today, the reward of their labors. The reward of their labors. Not only the return of their Lord and the review of their lives, but in this parable, you've got the reward of their labors. These three men, the man who got the 5 talents, the man who got the 2 talents, the man who got the 1 talent, each one of them were rewarded. Now, first of all, let's think about the faithful servants. You've got 2 men who were faithful, and the Lord Jesus Christ said to the first man who had gained the 5 talents, He said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Then the second man who had the 2 talents, and he gained another 2, it was the same message, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I want to say well done to you today. To you who have been faithful. Whenever you look at the financial report, you've been faithful in your giving. One day God will reward you for it. Your sacrificial giving. But remember that God is no man's debtor. As one old preacher put it, the Lord has a bigger shovel than I have. And we give to Him, but doesn't He give back in abundance? We want to say well done to you today for your giving to the Lord's work. We want to say well done to you for your faithfulness in attending the services, for your faithfulness in ministering in different ways. We think of every part of the church, and I'm not going to mention names today in case I leave somebody out. But each one of you, as you serve the Lord, you've been faithful, and the Lord would say to you today, well done. Jacob loves to hear those 2 words from his teacher. I know Susanna does as well. Of course, all children love to hear it, the children in the service today. Boys and girls, don't you like whenever your teacher puts a stamp on your work, well done? Well, here the Lord Jesus is putting His stamp, well done, on the page of His people, the page of His servants. What an encouragement it is. What wonderful words we have here. They're just 2 words, well done, but they're special words. And it'll be wonderful one day to hear those words. Of course, you've heard the saying, perhaps, I'm sure most of you have, you'll not hear the well done of God unless you've done well. You'll not hear the well done unless you've done well. So let's come to these faithful servants. Notice, first of all, these 2 men were commended by the Master. They were commended by the Master. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. There's the commendation. Then you'll notice, secondly, the confidence of the Master. Not only the commendation by the Master, but the confidence of the Master. Because the Lord goes on to say, "Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things." You see, some people want to start on the top rung of the ladder. And they want the big crowds, and they want the publicity, and they want just to have the glory. If I can put it like this, they want to start at the top. But you can't start at the top of the ladder. To climb the ladder, you've got to start at the bottom. And these two men, they started at the bottom, but they faithfully climbed the ladder. They made their way up the ladder, and the Lord commends them for their faithfulness. And he said, now, you've been faithful over a few things. You've been faithful ministering to the children, and there was only a handful who were there. It was just a couple or just half a dozen little children in your class, but you didn't look down upon them, you ministered to them. You ministered to just a small congregation, or you ministered to those elderly folk in the nursing home, and there wasn't too many of them there. Or you ministered to your little family. You didn't have a big family, but just a few children, but you were faithful in ministering to them. The Lord looks for faithfulness in the few things. Oh, there's people who want to just get the big things straight away. They want the many things before they have the few things, but there's no way that a person will ever be faithful over many things until they've proved that they're faithful over few. You know, the Lord will not trust you and me with the big things until he has worked out whether we're faithful in the tiny, insignificant, minute little things. These men, they were faithful in a few things, and then the Lord said, now, I'm going to give you more. I'm going to give you more responsibility. Move on up the ladder. You're going to be ruler over the many things. Oh, that God would help us to be like these two men, that we wouldn't frown upon small things. Of course, the heart of man is proud, and he loves big things. But the Lord says, be faithful in the little. What's this Solomon said in the Song of Songs? Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. Confidence of the master, then the commission from the master. You notice, well done, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Enter into your reward. Here's the commission from the master. Go. Enter into your eternal reward. You've been faithful over the few things. Enter into heaven, and you're going to serve me there. I'm going to make you ruler over many things in the land that is fairer than day. My, there's coming a day whenever many a faithful minister who has ministered to just a little flock, or many a faithful Sunday school teacher, or Bible class leader, or children's evangelist, and they've ministered to little groups of children, little groups of people, it's just a few things. My, what a reward they'll receive someday. The faithful servants, but you see, sad to say, there was a third servant. He wasn't faithful. The word the Lord uses is slothful. Slothful. You know, we're living in the day of sloth. Laziness, idleness. Never, I believe, has there ever been a more idle, slothful day and generation than the present day and generation. There's some people are that lazy they wouldn't walk out of your way. Isn't that right? You know, a hard day's work is a great cure for a lot of ailments. But you see, of course I know that There are some of us who aren't able-bodied. And of course, we're not speaking about people who have health problems. We're talking today about young people particularly who have perfect health. And they could be out doing an honest day's labor, but no, I'd rather just sit around. And you know what happens when you sit around? You've got more time to think. You have more time to think about your problems, isn't that right? Then you get downcast. Whereas the person who goes out and keeps busy, they haven't time to think about their problems. Life must go on. Is it not true, the old phrase, that the devil finds work for idle hands? Is it not true that one of the reasons why there's so much lawlessness in our nation today, is it not true that it's because of idleness? Now, we need to beware that we don't go to the other extreme and end up a workaholic and burn the candle out and end up exhausted and we can't even go to work. It's good to try to get the balance. I know there's busy times, not easy to get the balance, but we've got to try to get the balance. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "Come ye yourselves apart and rest a while." They had no leisure even so much as to eat. They couldn't even get a sandwich. They couldn't even get a bite to eat. They were that busy. But the Lord said, "Now, come apart, or you will come apart." But the point that I was trying to make is that we live in a day and a generation where there's terrible slothfulness. And you know what really irritates me? It's the government that are promoting it. By their benefits, by their policies, they're actually encouraging people to sit at home and not to go out to work. Sure, why would you go out to work when you can get paid more and get more money sitting at home than the man or the woman who goes out to do an honest day's work? There's something wrong. It's crazy. But here was a slothful man, slothful servant. Notice what tells us in verse 25. He says, "I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine." This man just did nothing. He neglected the talent that the Lord had given to him. We're thinking today about faithfulness. Faithfulness to this fellowship. Now, this church is not a perfect church, and we're not so arrogant today as to think that the Lord could only bless this church. No, we know that this church is not perfect. Certainly not perfect because I'm in it. And don't you laugh because you're in it too. But the Lord wants us to be faithful, to do what we can. Because, you know, by faithfulness to this church, to this local church, we're actually expressing our faithfulness to the Lord. Oh, that we might be faithful. The Bible speaks about the ant. I was thinking maybe sometime we could do a series, Animals of the Bible. It's amazing when you study the different animals that Scripture mentions and what we can learn from the animals. My, we could learn today on Palm Sunday from the ass, the colt that the Lord rode down into Jerusalem. My, we could learn so much from the animals. But did you ever read about the ant? The little ant. And what does the book of Proverbs say? "Go to the ant, thou sluggard." Go to the ant, thou sluggard. If you want an example of faithfulness, go to the ant. They're always scurrying around. They never seem to rest. They're always on the go. And they're just carrying their little grains, and you know, the little grains and the little pieces of grass or whatever, straw or whatever, their little burdens are maybe twice or five times bigger than their wee bodies. And you know, you can hardly see the wee ant under the wee piece of grass or whatever it is, the wee twig that it's carrying. It's dwarfed by it. They're faithful. They're always busy. But I'm afraid this man in Matthew 25, he wasn't like the ant. He was a sluggard. And you notice the judgment that's pronounced upon him. It tells us in verse 30 what the Lord said, "Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." I believe you have a picture here of a Christian who stands at the judgment seat of Christ. They're saved, their sins are forgiven, but the Lord says, take them to that awful place called hell. Don't put them there to suffer. Just take them there so that they can see the lost souls who are in agony and in torment in the flames of hell, and they could have reached out with the gospel, and they could have been faithful to the fellowship, and they could have been faithful in seeking to evangelize new buildings, but they failed. They neglected their duty, and take them to let them see the awful consequences of slothfulness and unfaithfulness. Let them see the precious souls who could have been rescued if only they'd been in the prayer meeting. If only that Christian had been faithful in reaching out with the gospel, distributing tracts or speaking to others and helping and getting in behind the work. Those souls need not have been lost in hell. They need not have ended up in the place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. They could have been saved. And then it's just as if the Lord says, now when they've saw the torment of those who are lost, wipe away the tears from their eyes and let them enter into the joy of the Lord. Let that Christian who has neglected their duty, that Christian who has been slothful, let them enter into heaven too. Oh, the importance of faithfulness. Oh, that the Lord would help each one of us to be faithful. To be faithful in whatever way we can be. The Lord has different tasks for each one of us. We don't do the same work, but we've all got our niche. Just like the little ants, they all have their work to do, scurrying about, busying themselves with the work that God has given them to do. You know, there's a great hymn that we sometimes sing. Savior, thy dying love thou gavest me, nor should I aught withhold, my Lord, from thee. But you'll notice verse 3. Give me a faithful heart, likeness to thee, that each departing day henceforth may see some work of love begun, some deed of kindness done, some wanderer sought and won, something for thee. May God give us a faithful heart. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your faithful people in this congregation. Lord, you know who they are. We pray that you'll bless them and encourage them today. We thank you that you do say to them, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But we ask, Lord, that if there should be any in the service today, and Lord, they are saved, but sad to say, they're also slothful. Oh Lord, may we be given that faithful heart. Oh Lord, may we be like Christ, the one who was faithful unto death, even the death of the cross. Bless us now as we sing our final hymn, for we ask it in the Savior's name. Amen. Final hymn is 657, number 657.